Bez Hashem's book, we begin Perek Shein of the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Zechei Matan, the laws of acquisition and of gifts. Where in this Perek, we continue the theme of the previous one regarding acquiring things from Hefker. In this case, specifically, an actual item of Hefker and how one goes ahead and taking possession of it. The Rambam gives a halacha regarding doing a chazaka in the actual field of Hefker. So, Nichzeh Ger Shein LeYershim. One of the cases we spoke about, the properties of a ger that has no inheritors over Nechzeh Hefker, an actual ownless piece of property over Sadeh Shemachod HaGoy LeYisrael, which we spoke about at the end of the previous parak. If it is a field that was sold by a Gentile to a Jew, Vadain LeHechzikbo, and the Jew has not yet taken possession of it, which we said is like with a document. Either way, Kulim Dinim Shava, all these have the same halacha where they're all considered as Hefker. So Kol HaMachzeh Behem B'Derech MiDerechei HaChazaka, so whoever takes possession of them in one of the ways that a person could do a chazaka, taking possession, like we explained this in the laws of sales in the first parak halacha ches, Kol acquires it, Chutz is one exception, is Mechila Saperis, where although oftentimes that is a chazaka, but in this case of Sadeh Hefker, by eating the produce, there it's not going to be a kinyan. The reason why that is, as we can explain later on, the specific chazaka of the ownless property has to be something that you're doing as for the benefit of the field, which is not the case by eating the pears. Although generally that's showing you taking possession, but that would not work regarding the Sadeh Hefker. Halacha based case or house salt. So Ram illustrates. So if someone buys a piece of property from his friend, the hechzik ba bechil is paid itself, and he takes possession of it by eating his produce. So kana, there he does acquire, Kamish Ram, like I explained this in the first paragraph of Mechir, Halacha Tazov Tazayin. Abenichzeh Hefker, but regarding ownless possessions, or the possessions of a convert, even if he ate the fruit of the trees for many years, he's not acquired the tree itself, and not acquired the property itself, until he does an action in the actual land itself, or he does some type of work on the tree itself. And there's actually a story with one woman. She ate the fruits of the palm tree for 13 years. And then subsequently a person came along and did a chazak on the tree by doing some type of work in the tree itself. The story came from the sages of Om. They said, the last one is the one who acquires it. The first one never did a chazak. Now, Halacha Gimel, on the other hand, Yesh Bam Rab, there are many things that if the buyer would do a chazak with it, he has not yet acquired it. But if one would do one of those chazakas, b'nechzeh hager or b'nechzeh hefker, in the properties of a convert or in the properties that are ownless, then kana, actually there you actually would acquire. Ketzer, how so? Samaitzi palterim gedoilim b'nui b'nechzeh hager. If someone goes ahead and he finds large palaces that are built in the property of the convert, or b'nechzeh hefker or on ownless properties, v'sid bem sid echad, and he does just one act of plaster, a kir bem kir echad, he makes one design, like just a one cubic amma or more opposite the entryway, which that's where it's more significant, it's more visible over there. So kana, he acquires just with that act. If someone draws a figure in the property of a convert, kana, he acquires. If someone puts out mattresses in the property of the ger, kana, he acquires it. If someone plows the field in the properties of the ger, kana, he acquires it. So we see that there are certain things that, although they're not a kinyan by other place like Lekech, actually would work by that of the Ger. Another Ram continues regarding what is the primary purpose, objective of a chazaka, which is the effectiveness as it applies to the property itself. So Hamathatzel Zmoidus Agefen. So if someone goes and cuts off the branches of the grapevine, or Sidi Gilonis, or the branches of a regular tree, or Vachabas Tamarim, or the palm branches of the palm tree, and he does his b'nechzeh ger in the property of the ger after he passed away without inheritors. So im died to libra ilan, if his intention is to do work for the tree to make the tree better, so kana, he acquires it because fixing the tree is one of the ways of making chazaka, and it's in the thing itself. Then died to lahachlo etzam of him, but let's say his intention was just to break up the branches that he could feed the wood to his animals, then lo kana, he hasn't acquired it because that's the achilas paidus that we spoke about that is not acquired by ger, even though by default it's fixing the tree, but if that was not his intention, not going to acquire. So in other words, how do we know if his intention is to make the tree better and therefore acquiring, or to give the wood, the branches, to his animals to eat? So it depends. If he was cutting off the branch on either side of the tree, so the chazaka, the presumption is that his intention was to make the tree better because he's doing it all around. But if he's breaking off branches on one side, because if you want to make it better, you would do it all around. Obviously, he's only doing it for the wood, and therefore he doesn't acquire. So the Blitzi is gathering the stones and the wood and the grasses from the field. If his intention is to clear it and to prepare it so that it can be plowed so that he's making it clear, so Kani is acquiring because he's making the field better. But if he's doing it just so that they could use the wood for his animals or to use it for some other purpose, like Kani hasn't acquired. So how do we illustrate it here also? So if he's gathering the big ones and the small ones, obviously the intention is to clear the ground and make it better. That's doing something in the field itself, and therefore he acquires it. But let's say he only takes the big ones, not the small ones. So obviously the presumption is doing it for the wood because you're not clearing out the field, you're leaving the small ones. So let's say some is smoothing out the surface of the ground. If his intention is to prepare the ground to make it better, so Kani is acquired. But let's say his intention is just to smooth out an area so that he could put over there a granary where he could thresh his grain and keep it over there, and just needs a smooth, flat place. So like Kani hasn't acquired. He's not doing it for the ground itself. He's doing it for some utility on the ground. How do we know that over there? So let's say he's taking earth from a higher place on the ground and putting it to a lower place. So he's fixing the ground, he's leveling it out. But let's say we see he's not particular about that. Rather, he's just throwing the earth and the pebbles everywhere he is without being particular about it. He just wants to clear this area. So we can presume that his intention is not, he only wants to smooth it out to have a place we could thresh. But that's not for the field itself, because if it was, when he would do that, he would make it even out to somewhere else. So too, another illustration is if someone's opening up that a channel of water should come into the earth, into the ground over there, to the field. Again, if he's doing it to prepare to make the land better, the Kani acquires it. If he's letting come in just to go ahead and trap the fish that are coming in, so like Kani, he's not acquiring, he's not doing it for the field. How do we illustrate that one? So also, let's say he's making only that the water could only come in without an exit. Sorry, he's a miscavenant in the second arts. Obviously, his intention is to fix the ground, but he wants the water to stay there to water the field. But also, if he made two openings, one to enter and one to exit, because the water is not going to be staying there to water the field. He just wants to be able to trap the fish, to get the fish from the water, and then to let the water go. So obviously then he wouldn't acquire. Halacha test. Someone builds huge palaces, huge mansions in the property of the convert. And the second person comes along and just puts doors in them. And the second person is the one who acquires it. Why? The first guy didn't do anything to the property itself. It's like just making a pile of stone on the ground. Shainakun, of course, not going to acquire with that. Why? What the Ram is coming to address is that don't say, wait a second, this building at least is fixing from the element of being a wall. It's fencing it in. No, I'm foolish because the opening is very wide and it's open because there's no doors in it. And the form of that structure is not effective. In other words, without doors, you can't really benefit and even dwell on it until you put on doors. So he didn't do anything to the property until the guy who put on the doors, and therefore the second one is the one who's going to acquire it. Halacha Yud continues, what happens if there is an effectiveness regarding the property, but it comes by itself? If someone scatters the seeds into the furrows without covering the seeds, so like Kana, he has not acquired it. Why not? Because when he scattered the seeds, he didn't make the ground any better because he didn't cover the seeds to be able to sprout. And when it sprouts and it does make it better, it's a benefit that's happening by itself at a later point in time. And the Kana is not going to acquire. Let's say there was a boundary, there was a wall, a partition in the property of the gear. Now this guy came along and made a partition on top of that partition. So like Kana, it hasn't acquired because it's extra, it's excess. There's no effectiveness. It already had a partition. And Vafila Nivla Mechitza Tachtoin, this is where it relates to the previous halacha. Even if, subsequently, the first boundary gets sucked into the ground, gets absorbed into the ground. Vareil Yon Kayemes. Now the upper one is standing there, and that's the partition which he made. No. Shebe Esha Manallah Hayal, because when he built it, there was no effectiveness because the first partition was still there. Ube Esha, and when it's subsequently effective, Me'ilav Bohamais. This happened by itself, not through his action, and therefore he didn't acquire anything. Look at basic things regarding the intent that's necessary when you're making a chazaka. If someone takes possession in the property of a ger or someone that's ownless, but who ain't died to likeness, and his intention is not to be kind, he's just squatting, he's just taking possession, he's doing some work on it, but his intention not to acquire. Although he built and he made walls, Lakani hasn't acquired because he didn't have the intent. Let's say someone is hoeing some type of work on the property of the ger. And he thinks it's his because he lived right next door. He hasn't acquired because he didn't have the intent. Let's say he hoed in this ger's property. He thought it was some other ger, which he was trying to take possession, but it was actually the wrong ger. But hold him in the scavenger, the nice of Eliskas from the Hefka, since ultimately he was having in mind with this action to acquire from what's ownerless, Hezekana, so ultimately, even though he thought it was some other gear, he has acquired it. Halachi Dalit continues with the collateral, the securities of a gear. Hoyamashkin Yisrael Biyat a gear. Let's say a Jew had collateral by the gear, meaning he owed money to the gear, and he gave him some type of a security. Now when the ger died, a different Jew came along and took possession of that collateral. So the owner of the collateral could take it away from that person because the ger, or his creditor, doesn't really own the collateral. He just has a lien on it regarding the loan. And because the moment that the ger died, that lien was void. And therefore the borrower automatically, the moment the ger dies, merits back into his object, and therefore that second Yisrael cannot come and take it. Halakha Tzvav. Let's say the other way around. Hayamashkin Hagir Biyad Yisrael. Let's say the collateral of a ger was by the hand of a Jew, meaning the ger owed the Jew money, and he gave the Jew one of his properties as security. Uvo Yisrael Achav Echzigba. Now a different Jew comes along and takes possession. If let's say the first Jew didn't, the creditor didn't go ahead and take possession of it yet, so Lekech Mimen Harishin Keneg Ma'isav. So essentially, this Yisrael, the second one, has taken possession of it, but the first Jew takes relating to the amount of the lien that he has in the properties of the ger, which even when the ger dies, that doesn't remove the lien that the estate has that's owed to that Jew. So that's how much he takes. The later one, who, let's say the item was worth $10,000 and he only owed $5,000 to the first Jew, the second Jew gets the other $5,000 and he just gives whatever was owed from the collateral to the first Jew. When we say this, it's only if the collateral was not in the courtyard of the first one of that first Jew of the creditor. Let's say the collateral was in his own courtyard, then this courtyard acquired from him without his awareness, like we explained regarding the laws of found object in Perikizan. The second one doesn't get anything, it was already acquired automatically by the chatzar, the first one of the creditor. Halacha Yitzan continues regarding the slaves of a ger. So Ger Shemes, regarding a convert that died. Ubizbizu Yisraelis Nachasav, and Jews came along and they went and they took the spoils of all his estate. Now, in the estate were adult slaves. So those slaves actually acquire themselves as free men because they come to themselves before anyone else to merit in them in their own selves. But regarding the minor slaves, so essentially, that since they don't have das, they're like cattle. Whoever takes possession of them acquires them. Krabianu already explained in Perek Beis Melechas Mechira Halacha Aleph to Dalad, the Archei HaChazaka, the ways of doing Chazaka, Shikr Memes Avodim, how a person could go out and acquire a slave. Halacha Yitches continues regarding a similar type of a case, but regarding the law of if someone does a Chazaka that's was doubtful in the estate of a ger. So ger shemes, let's say a ger dies. And they go ahead and they crash and they take everything from his property. Then they hear, the word gets out that actually he didn't die yet. Or he has a son, which therefore he's an inheritor. Or his wife is pregnant, which that fetus is going to be inheriting. So kulum chayavon hachsa, then they all have to give it back because they were not rightfully taking it. Let's say they all give it back. And then they actually hear that he did die, meaning actually the first report that he was dead was actually right. The second report wasn't correct. And therefore, and in the first report he had died. Or maybe his son, or that he had actually died before the father died. Or actually his wife had miscarried. Actually here, in spite of that, whoever took possession the second time acquires it. Whoever took possession the first time, even though technically it was right that they were able to, because he actually did die and he actually did not have a child, they don't acquire. And the reason for that is because from the fact that they returned it, they revealed their intention. Obviously, the first time they took possession, they didn't really know definitively. And therefore, it wasn't really with the intention of a real acquisition, because if they did, they would have kept. Then they, from the fact that they give it back, obviously not. And therefore, that's why, even though technically, really, it was correct, but theoretically, it's not, and with their intent, and therefore the second one, whoever subsequently takes possession, will acquire it.